It's a Thursday. That means it's time to talk to the voice of the Jayhawks, a guy that is super tough and not soft, Brian Haney. Brian, how's it going, buddy?
I don't know, man. I've been to about six holiday parties in the last 2 weeks. Between the cookies and the extra eggnog, I'm getting a little bit soft around the edges. But I am tough. It's true. But yes. The softness is setting in.
I like it. Brian Haney's appearance here on the Sports Ticket brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill and Boyd, or call them at 738-5701. Okay, so we jump right into it. Coach Self talking about being soft, and Chad and I were talking about this earlier off the air, that this is not the first time Coach Self has called out his team and said they're not tough enough or they lack toughness or that they're soft, but it certainly seems like when you give up 95 at home at Allen Fieldhouse, that certainly sets off the alarm bells for some people out there. And one thing that I will say about Coach Self is he's more interesting. I'm not saying he's boring when KU wins, but when KU does have a loss, and that's not very often, he's a very interesting guy to listen to.
Oh, he is. He's so honest. And sometimes he'll say things for our benefit, so Boyd and Brian can talk about him every Thursday morning. Other times he'll say things specifically to call his players out, who read the press clippings, who read social media, who read the message boards. He wants it in bold print with 72-point font. This team is soft, and this is the softest team we've had in my 15 years. He wants that out there because he's trying to send a message. And yeah, he can talk to these guys face-to-face every day, but that really resonates and sinks in if it's what everybody else is talking about. And so he is so smart. Hey, he's honestly one of the smartest people I've ever met in my life. Everything is done for a reason and a purpose. And, you know, there was definitely intent behind those words the other day. Some coaches, they get fired up after a loss, and you put an open microphone in front of them, and it's just kind of, you know, verbal you-know-what that just spews out of them. With him, everything is calculated, and he's thinking two steps ahead, kind of like Wade's pool game, right?
Yes.
So it's like a billiards, not a water polo.
No.
So I think it was great he said what he said, and I think in his mind he still believes this can be a very good defensive team. Will it be a great defensive team ever if they don't wind up getting some sort of rim protector? Maybe not. I think that's something they really lack. Not that Landon Lucas was a great rim protector a year ago. Not a Jeff Withey or anything like that, but you lack that help on the back line right now because you're not getting it from Doak to the degree they've had it with previous Kansas bigs, and you have no other big to put in to replace him if he's not doing his job. Obviously, Mitch is doing all he can, but one of Self's most emphatic points that he's made this week is that on this Kansas team, there is no substitution when execution is not happening on the floor. You know, there's obviously one or two guys they can put in. He can put in Marcus for LeGerald or Marcus for Svee or Mitch for Doak if there's foul trouble. But after that, you can't do it. And in most of his other teams, you've not only had a multitude of players that you could put in with playing time being the almighty motivator, but those guys in that multitude of players, usually one or two of them were McDonald's All-Americans. And you just don't have that on a team that's playing a seven-man rotation right now. And so Sam Cunliffe coming back will be big for this team. He's not a savior by any means. He's probably still a year away from truly being what I think he can be at Kansas, but he's certainly going to help. And if that means Devontae and LeGerald go from playing 38, 39 minutes a game down to 33 and 34, that in and of itself is a big boost because I think they'll be sharper later in games when we've seen them wear down earlier. So I think that there's plenty of reasons to still have hope. The sun did come out on Monday. The sky is not falling, Chicken Little. You can go away if you're that fan. But it is disturbing to see back-to-back losses. We hadn't seen that since 2013. Kansas had been 43-1 in bounce-back games when the second game was in Allen Fieldhouse. And they hadn't lost back-to-back home games since 89. And you called it a home game because the Washington game was on the KU season ticket package. It doesn't count against Bill Self's amazing Allen Fieldhouse record in which he has more conference titles than he has home losses. But it is technically considered a home game on your season ticket pack, and that hadn't happened since I was 9 years old and in third grade. Wade, I think we're about the same age, you know. Yeah. You're probably asking your first girl out and all that.
Right.
It's been a long time. So you know, Bill Self made that very obvious and in a very emphatic way to his team at practice yesterday, and said, guys, we got to take some pride in this. This stuff doesn't happen at Kansas, and we're not going to allow it to keep happening.
Yep, I agree with you. You're cutting in and out just a little bit there. The defense is certainly a big issue, and in this game against Arizona State, when you allow 95 points, as Coach Self said, scoring 85 should be enough. And what stood out to me was the guard play in regards to stopping penetration. I don't want to pick on LeGerald Vick, but there's a couple times when I watched there where he got blown by. And then there was not the rotating help defense coming over. You mentioned really not a shot blocker back there. And it's a combination of all of that. It seems like help's late rotating over, not keeping guys out of the lane with dribble penetration. It's a collective issue, isn't it?
It is. Self felt like versus Arizona State, he was superior when it came to quickness. That not only did we struggle to keep them in front of us, but sometimes KU didn't come all the way out on them and it allowed the Arizona State guards to get a one or two step running start. So imagine a sports car where you're already kicking it into overdrive and up to 40 miles an hour at the point of starting the race. You know, he wanted his guys to come up and get on the ball. And yes, you're a little bit more vulnerable then if they beat you with a first step blow by, but at least they're not getting two steps of a running start. And he felt like at times they sagged back on shots, and we saw this team get 14 threes against Kansas. And, you know, you're not going to do well against a good perimeter shooting team like that if you're going to give them an extra step and a half because you're worried about the blow by. And so it was just a game where they flat out got whipped by a better team on that day. But Self was quick to point out, while they did get beat by the better team on Sunday, he said, as of now, they're the better team. He said, in 3 weeks, it could be different. And he's not just talking about the additions potentially of D'Souza or Preston or getting Sam this particular week at Nebraska. He thinks his team will grow and evolve and be a better team in 3 weeks than what we saw. Obviously, when you've got that month in between semesters and all they have to focus on is basketball, but not classes and homework and tests and other things, this is the time of year where typically you see teams improve the most. And so I think Bill Self is optimistic, and at the same time, he's realistic. He knows there's a lot that has to improve. He knows this is not his brand of basketball that he'd like to play with and win by. But he likes his team. He likes the chemistry. You don't have any knuckleheads in this group. They're going to buy in. They just right now need a little bit more depth and a whole lot more defense. And if there's any coach that can preach toughness and defense and squeeze every drop of blood out of that turnip in terms of potential, it's this guy. So for me and my money, I'm betting on Bill Self to turn this thing around.
I agree with you that.
And let me change my words. Turn this thing around is way too strong. Yeah, had one bad week. Okay, yeah. I'm buying into that. Drinking a little if I say turn this thing around. I'm betting on Bill Self to turn the defensive trends around because this thing is rolling, and we are so lucky. You know, if you don't mind, the quick sidebar. So speaking to a group last night in Lawrence for our Lawrence Roundball luncheon. We need to get one of these in Glen Elder and Beloit one of these days.
Yeah,
But we could go to that taco place you took me in.
There you go.
But I was telling the folks, I said, you know, since the last time we gathered about 11 months ago, just think about everything we've had a chance to witness. We saw Kansas go into Rupp Arena and beat Kentucky. We saw Kansas set the Guinness Book of World Record for crowd noise in an epic comeback, maybe best comeback ever in Alex Hillhouse versus West Virginia. We saw him complete the quest for 13 straight, matching a streak only UCLA had set for conference dominance. We saw Frank become a National Player of the Year. We saw Kansas pick up a 7th-1 seed in the last 11 years. Unreal. We saw Kansas make a run of the Elite Eight. We saw Josh Jackson become a lottery pick, 4th overall. We saw Kansas go to Italy and win 4 games over there. We saw Bill Self go into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. We saw KU renew, remind, and restore the rivalry with Mizzou for 1 game, reminding them of their place in the basketball pecking order. Then we saw Kansas beat Kentucky again in the last 11 months. All of these accomplishments, Wade, it would take most programs 30 or 40 years to experience all of that. We've seen it in 1 year. So if 1 week, or specifically if 5 days were rough last week between Wednesday to Sunday, man, we got it pretty dang good, don't we, as Jayhawk fans?
Wow, you summed that up really well. I mean, when you put it in that perspective, that's an amazing 11-month stretch, no question about it. And, you know, it's funny you said, I don't want to act like we got to turn it around. It's not like this team's 2-7. This team's 7-2, still ranked 13th in the country. And they've had these hiccups before under Coach Self. They've had a few 2-game losing streaks, and they've ended up being okay at the end. What about getting to the foul line? Because KU teams, most Bill Self teams in the past, are able to get to the line, stop the clock. That allows you to rest a little bit, and with the lack of depth KU has, that could be important. And we had Frank Mason last year. The Jayhawks would get him to the line quite a bit because he'd drive it. He was aggressive going to the hoop, get in contact. Josh Jackson was a slasher as well. And this team doesn't seem to have that guy that can really get all the way to the hoop and draw contact and get to the line, do they?
Yeah, it's a really astute observation, and it's something that I know Bill Self would love to see more of. He was talking to me yesterday about slashers and drivers, and obviously Frank was the best at breaking guys down off the dribble, and he was so good because he could penetrate and pitch and find Devontae a wide-open shot because of it. He could himself get to the cup and finish, or as you said, he could get to the stripe 15 times in a game, and it was no big deal. And with bad offense was being run, not that they ran bad offense, but if the offense wasn't working, just get the ball to Frank and get the heck out of the way, and he'll go get a bucket. And Josh was the same way. From a non-point guard position, Josh was by far their best driver a year ago. And Bill Self told me yesterday, he said, LeGerald is by far our best slasher on this year's team. Mm-hmm. Better than Svee, better than Malik, better than Devontae. And yet he said LeGerald is not even close to what Josh Jackson was. And obviously, there's no Frank Mason in terms of a guy from the point guard position that can do that much off the dribble. So clearly, Kansas has some deficiencies in that regard. You look at a guy like Mykhailiuk, who has shown flashes of playing downhill more. But I think the other day when he went to the line late in the Arizona State game, it was just his 9th and 10th free throw attempted of the season. You know, he could be a 70 or 80% free throw shooter. He was 70% last year. He should be 80 and above. Thing is, he never gets to the line. And so when he gets to the line now, it's like the first time he shot one in two or three games, and there's not a comfort level there. And so I think Bill Self would like to see a lot of his guys do a better job of playing downhill, as he says, forcing the issue, getting deep dribble penetration and drawing whistles, because it has been, by and large, a good free throw shooting team, especially if you take out Doak's 8 for 20. They're a really good free throw shooting team, but they're not shooting as many as perhaps they could, and hopefully that's something that will change as we get deeper into the year.
Ron Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, with us every Thursday here on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or give them a ring, 738-5701. All right, so Nebraska is next up for the Jayhawks, and that's going to be interesting in itself, going up to Nebraska. And we talked to Greg Sharp, the voice of the Huskers, earlier this week, and he said that the Huskers are really playing some pretty good ball. He said the 10-point loss to Creighton's a little bit misleading. That was the biggest margin of the game. They played well in stretches, and Creighton's a very good basketball team. They beat a ranked Minnesota team already this year, so that catches your eye. And it's KU's first true road game of the year. And I think it was Matt Tate that I saw his article talking about under Bill Self. They've lost three games in a row just twice, but those two times they lost three games in a row, the third game was on the road, and this one is the first true road game of the year. So how concerned should KU fans be about the Huskers coming up on Saturday night up in Lincoln?
I think there's definite concern. Coach Self actually said yesterday, and whether this is, Coach Speak or legit, he says, hey, man, winning this game will be tougher than Arizona State. And he's factoring in the road situation there. Mm-hmm. Arizona State's obviously a far superior team, but Nebraska, as you said, beat Minnesota when they were ranked 14th. Here's Kansas in a similar positioning in terms of national reputation and rank, and they're going to be frothing at the mouth, chomping at the bit with a sold-out new arena that's just ready to rock and see Kansas possibly go down. So if anything, I hope that the Jayhawks will have a tighter huddle, that they'll come out really, really focused and super efficient in their execution, knowing that this is going to be a fierce challenge. And you're right, it's only happened twice with the three-game skids on the shelf. There have been other times where they've lost two in a row and then had Nebraska come in and beat the doors off them by 35 points plus, but those have been at home. So this is a situation where, you're going to go up there with an us-against-the-world mentality. It's going to be a big sea of red cheering against you. And I think, honestly, while we talk about this team not having the dog mentality and maybe not being as mentally tough, I think this is the type of climate and environment that can build some of that toughness. Mm-hmm. And it's got to start with Devontae. And so we'll see how they respond in the midst of that. But the fact that they've lost two in a row coming in, the fact that Self has been pushing all the right buttons in terms of motivation ever since the loss on Sunday, I'm excited to see what they come out with. The question is, can they sustain it? Because, Wade, you and I were both excited with what they came out with versus Arizona State. It was 15-2,
yeah,
man.
Mm-hmm.
I was almost, standing up, throwing my arms in the air for the crowd to go nuts because I was so fired up on the call, because that's just what the doctor ordered after a loss. I mean, we were just having the time of our lives, and then here came the run. and quickly Kansas ran out of gas. And I'm glad that now they'll have a little bit more in the tank, because you got one extra scholarship guy that I do think can make a difference in Sam Cunningham. Coach told me yesterday he only played 10-ish type minutes his first game. He's not quite ready in terms of what he's going to be at KU, but he is the best athlete on the roster. Clearly at 6'6", he can guard some guys that give you some matchup advantages, or at least in some cases you're not as disadvantaged if you have to put in Clay Young in certain spots, who's listed at 6'5", but I think Sam is a more athletic and longer 6'6". He can play bigger than that even. And he's going to get up and down the floor. He's going to trim those minutes off of Devontae and LeGerald that have been so high. And I think that just makes the tide rise for all ships. So I'm excited, man. And I think it's going to be a fun atmosphere on Saturday. I mean, it's going to be a big bounce-back win for KU. And you're so astute to point out that, hey, man, this is just two losses. It's not like they're 2-7, like you said. Think of it this way. This time a year ago, they were 8-1. So you're just one game off that pace, and you still have a win over a top-five team like you had a year ago when it was Duke. This year it's Kentucky. And, you know, you still have another impressive resume win over Syracuse on a neutral floor. Now let's go get a road game here and beat a good Nebraska team that will compete really hard in the Big Ten in the upper half of that conference this year. And then let's feel good about life as we raise a glass into the holiday season and not think the sky is falling after just two losses.
Anything new to report? Quick update of probably nothing to update on with Billy Preston and Sylvia D'Souza?
No, but I think we could be hearing something very soon in both cases. And I would just say, and I've said this to you a couple of times, Coach Self remains hopeful. And if he wasn't optimistic, I wouldn't say that to you as it pertains to both. Okay, but specifically Billy. If it was doom and gloom and they're kind of fearing the worst and all that, I wouldn't tell you we're hopeful and optimistic. So that doesn't mean it's a done deal by any means, but I do think this thing's coming to a head real soon. And you know, the good news is, you know, he's been a great teammate. I do think, you know, in listening to Coach Self speak, it's been hard on him because he's not just missing out on valuable court time that would have made him a better player over these first 10 games, but it's hard to stay as engaged and have your fuse lit as hot as it normally would be if you know, you're busting your tail practice every day with no reward of playing on the court. Yep. And he's doing all he can to stay engaged, and he's had a good attitude. But, you know, he's not going to just come in and set the world on fire, because whenever he plays, whether it's, you know, coming up on Saturday or maybe it's the first conference game or whatever, that's going to be the first game for him, and it's going to take a couple of weeks, I think. And you look where Kansas starts out in the first 2.5 weeks of league play with road trips to Austin, Fort Worth, and Morgantown. Yeah. Holy smokes. I hope whether it's Silvio, Billy, or both that Kansas adds, that both those guys can grow up in a hurry, because, man, that is going to be some kind of schedule to start league play on the road. And if you want to talk about 14 straight, you're going to have to pick up couple of those three games I just mentioned.
Absolutely. All right, time for the off-the-wall question for you, Brian. What was your favorite board game growing up that you liked to play?
Wow. Favorite board game. Do you remember that game Mousetrap? That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, that was unique.
That was pretty slick. It had a bunch of bells and whistles, quite literally. But I think I had something better than that. You know, this wasn't a board game. My grandpa and I would have some pretty epic showdowns of Connect Four. I mean, it would be best out of 7 and best out of 11, and I mean, they were heated battles of Connect Four. But I, you know, it's a ton of great games. Nowadays, I love, for me and my money, I love my categories or some catchphrase. You know, you get a party of adults, and you get a catchphrase on your phone, and you know, the word pops up, and you have to describe the word without saying any form of the word or rhymes with or whatever. That gets fun, man. The phone's beeping and buzzing the whole time. The clock's ticking against you. We have some fun with that. So if we get together for a holiday party, you and me, we'll be playing some catchphrase and some categories of taboo.
Hey, taboo's a good one with the buzzer. And you know, a couple that I really like to play, Rummy Cube. I do very well in that game. People don't like that I move a whole bunch of chips around, but I usually can make it work. I don't know if you ever played that one. And the other one did you never play that one? I'll have to show you how to play that sometime. And then Stratego. You remember Stratego?
No. both Greek to me.
Oh, the Stratego one was you had battlefields and you had different chips. It was a little bit like chess, but it wasn't. And that was a game that they didn't make a lot of them. And I had somebody call my mom when I was in college that somehow knew that I had Stratego or asked I had Stratego, and they bought it for like $25, which probably it's worth $10,000 probably now, and I don't even know it and lost out on all that. But that was a game that I almost always won, and you protected your flag. And so you had bombs that were different chips, so if somebody hit that with your guys, then, you know, of course, they're gone. And it was a lot about strategy, and it was a fun game. I don't think a lot of people probably played it, except maybe me and a few others, it seemed like.
Man, we got to have a game night once the off season hits. We'll get the wives and girlfriends together, and we'll get everybody over there at Anderson Insurance, and we'll have a good time.
Is there a better feeling? Is there ever a better feeling playing a game than when you know you have somebody beat in Connect Four because you have two ways to win?
Exactly, man. I hope we have that same feeling with about 45 seconds to go in Lincoln on Saturday. and we look across the way, and we know no matter what happens, we got to beat, man. We got 10 miles right where we want them. Hopefully that's the case.
Yeah, you're up 25 with 10 minutes to go. That would be okay with me. Hey, have a great call up in Lincoln. And then, of course, you got the game against Omaha at home on Monday. And then we'll look ahead to the Stanford game next Thursday.
We're going to take the whole state of Nebraska by the time we talk next. Outside of Creighton, of course. That sounds good, my man. Hey, thanks so much.
Take care, Brian. That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks right here on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.